together and travel every 15. Did you know that, Ollie? Every 15 minutes. At that point, I wanted to hear, if you want to dance around with astrology, you were thinking that Fred Lutomology. He said, he's a mediocre broker that is in the new introducing David Quo. Hello, David, how are you? I'm skint. Why? Well, I didn't put my money in the right thing. No! That's not going to happen, Ollie. That's not going to happen. Oh, dear. Right, and at this point, what can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys of it. Let me see. Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell. Oi! Morning, John.
Morning, George.
I tell you what, this talk the walk, I mean, It's been a great feature in all that business, but we're getting to the cold weather. I can't send our listeners out walking in the freezing cold. Are you mad, man? How can we do this over the Christmas period?
Well, I think what we've got to do, George, we've got to go indoors, haven't we?
Go indoors?
Yes, just like the athletes.
All right, then.
When it gets cold, we head in. Inwards.
I always like it when they do that. You know, the cross country where they jump over the beams. I love it when it's pouring a rain. Can you imagine it pouring with freezing cold rain? So you stand there in your shorts, in your little thin shorty shorts, and it's freezing cold rain, and you've got to run for about 9 miles and jump over all that stuff. And I would put, they jump over and there's that water thing.
Mm.
I'd put some crocodiles in there. That would.
Or a cloak across it. Just yeah. So, is it really? Now, was it water? Or Raleigh, was it?
Yeah.
Is it deep or not?
Yeah. That's what I do. I tell you what, if I ever got to talk to those sports boys, if I ever had the chance to meet those sports boys, I'd tell them how to make sport more interesting. Right, so John, what are we going to do then?
Well, I mean, apologies about last week. I weren't too well.
We had you down as not making it over the weekend. You know, so we both lost a lot of money.
We connected 3 or 4 shows, which was good. Right. You know, a good run for me, that was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, Connect Four, wasn't it? And it was like, could he make...
I love that game, Connect Four, don't you?
Yes, very simple.
Yeah, it's a simple game. And the thing is...
last snap.
But if you get the right... If you get your first two balls in properly, there's no way you can lose.
A bit like the old level.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Yeah, I understand that, John. Right, so, anyway.
You know the new game to play, though? I've got to say, well, it is Monopoly, isn't it? You know that?
Yeah, but...
You've heard about the rules, haven't you? Where it says, what happens if the bank runs out of money? It says, write some IOUs out, wait till you get some cash. And that's about where we are right now. In the world, isn't it? It honestly is. You know, because we're just about to flip the board. And when someone gets annoyed, well, look.
Actually, the thing about it, maybe we should just flip the board and see what happens. Although I haven't seen too many giant top hats and corgi dogs walking past. But,
no.
Yeah. Don't try and sway us off the problem here of freezing cold talk the walks.
Yeah. Well, if you remember last time, we were in Bloomsbury, weren't we?
Yeah.
And it has. This week, you have noticed, it's dark now at 4:30.
Yeah.
There's that. It really has swung into that.
Yeah, I blame the kids, the school kids. I do. It's like it's their fault. If it wasn't for them pesky kids, we wouldn't have all this darkness.
Well, I'll tell you where we are.
Where?
Great Russell Street.
All right.
And we are standing at these massive, wrought iron, beautiful gates to the British Museum.
One of the great buildings of London.
And I'll tell you what, this is a building I go past on a regular basis. Most cab drivers do. In a day, you probably go past it at least once or twice.
Right.
You just happen to. It's part of an east, like a east to west or west to east. No, a west to east route it is. And it once I parked up on a pan display, and I've been in there twice over the last week. And what was amazing is you walk through the gates and then it suddenly hit me how big this place is.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because the fence is so... What you do notice is the big iron fence, it's a stone wall with an iron fence on the outside, it is so vast. And you know, like when you get railings very close together, when you see them at an angle, you don't really get to see the building behind, do you?
No.
And there's always people walking out, there's always someone trying to sell you a dodgy sausage, you know, nearby, and that horrible smell of them onions.
A dodgy sausage, yeah.
No, they are. I don't know how, they're just still there. It doesn't matter what we do to those people, is it? No matter how many times you remove them, there seems to be another lorry load of, you know, dog food compressed into you know, sausage form at some point. I mean, sorry, I'm going to insult dog food, I mean, to be honest with you, because
like, well, no, because Oliver likes the smell of it. In fact, Ollie, what have you got? What, chum sandwich? Okay, fair enough. That's all right. You have it yourself, right.
So, we're at the gates, and I walked in, and you suddenly realise how big and vast this building is. And for a moment, you know when you see on those films, like American films, when they're walking out of the courthouse?
Yeah.
And that's what it's like, isn't it? Because you've got the big old Roman columns here. We've got this neoclassical building.
Yeah.
And we've got the stairs. And I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on a minute. I'm shocked, actually, someone in government hasn't nabbed this, because this is pretty decent, this building.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking a guy called Robert Smirk, it was. He was born in 1867. He died around 1847. It was completed. It's a colonnade neoclassical building that became the site of the British Museum. Inside it, if you keep walking around all the corridors, 2.5 miles.
So it's got 2.5 miles of corridors?
Yeah, if you keep walking around it, like in the Great Hall, first floor, third floor. Major exhibits here, treasures, we know about the Elgin Marbles, the Parthenon, Egyptian, the mummification. I mean, it's just so much there.
I've got to declare an interest. I've actually been into the bowels of this place.
Oh, wow.
And
that's to be honest.
Oh, man. Well, we were doing something about Sutton Hoo. Did you see the Sutton Hoo display there? You know, the old King Radwald, the oldest treasure we found in this country. And I was doing a programme about it. And so we got there at 8 o'clock and we had 2 hours where we could take all the glass cabinets down to do the filming of all this really ancient, precious stuff. And the curator that was there, Angela Evans. And then at 10 o'clock, they had to put the glass things up. She said, right, now let's go down and see the stuff that isn't on display. So we go to the service lift and we go down like, I don't know, 4 or 5 floors underneath the ground. Hmm. We get out of the service lift and the size of the building, it's got, an underground, the same sort of the main building. And we were just walking past corridors, you know, loads of corridors with drawers and cupboards. And then we turned down one. We must have walked past 10, 15 corridors, walked down this one. She unlocked it, pulled out a drawer full of gold. And I'm thinking, the treasures that are under here, amazing.
Well, that's why you suddenly realise, well, the fence.
I know.
You know, when you think of it, now, and you see what you've done, when you think of the artefacts that are there, that's why these big iron fences there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not there, you know, let's just put a big one up behind the big building. It's there because there's treasures here. And what was interesting tonight, I walked up those stairs, and it did. It was a striking moment because you suddenly realised this building is a lot bigger than what I ever imagined.
Yeah,
and I haven't been there since I was 7. I mean, 7 years of age. It was on 35 years ago, and it costs you nothing.
And when I went and done it,
absolutely nothing.
I hadn't been there since I was 7, and the one thing that struck me walking around, no one spoke English. This is where tourists go, and they love it. And the people of London, apart from school trips, probably hardly ever go.
Yeah, that's what you saw today, some trips it was of foreign students, actually loads of them, overseas students coming in now. But a massive big courtyard out there, some nice ornate lamps, and then you get the feel for the building. It's not similar to the Greenwich Dalmaty buildings, but it is a bit. But it's that neoclassical, lots of Roman columns. When I got up this little bank of stairs, about 10 to 12 stairs, what you did notice was then loads of Roman columns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they were literally double banked, they were. And then a big door in front of me. And then immediately to your right-hand side then, a nice little touch. We just had Remembrance Sunday recently. And then inlaid into another column, the more rectangular shape on the wall, was a small wreath of poppies down the bottom, honouring people that had fought in 1939 to 1945, and then 1914 to 1918, that worked at the museum and lost their lives. And I just thought that was a real nice touch it was to the right hand side.
Brilliant.
Beautiful little drinking fountain then as well, though.
Yeah.
With the lion's head again, and the two little brass arrows. And this was really polished up, the brass, it was like, just to the right hand side of the door. Worth a little look, great little picture. How do people get their pictures taken by it? Who would have thought it's just a little water fountain?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're at this massive building, and everyone's getting their pictures taken by this little drinking fountain. And sometimes it does.
Well, because I think it's easier to get in the shot, isn't it?
Yeah. The other thing as well, what was lovely to see was all these youngsters, lots of young people, and that wreath was just sitting there and it hadn't been moved.
Yeah.
That just shows a bit of respect.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does, a lot. And, you know, we're too quick sometimes, aren't we, at having a dig at the old youngsters. But I walked in, and then straight away, the guy who, there's a bit of artwork. This is quite interesting what they've done now, here. They've thrown a bit of contemporary art into the mix.
All right.
And I think it works. Now, you know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of contemporary art, I think as most people know, but they got Anthony Gormley, Case for an Angel, and it's like the Angel of the North, but it's all original, right. And it's there, just standing there, it is in front of you, and it's just quite amazing, actually. It's on its plinth. I mean, not too high the plinth, but high enough. But then it forces you to look up a bit, and what you will notice then is the fantastic artwork on the ceiling. Now, if you've ever done the guided tour, which we are going to do in Grand Lodge, we're going to the Freemasons in a few weeks, John.
All right.
Because you can do a guided tour, and I did it the other week, went on the guided tour, and you get to see the actual amazing artwork that's on their ceiling. Very, very similar. Very, very similar to the artwork, you know, like the inlay, the way it's done, the squares and the rectangles, that beautiful painting, that lovely pastel greens. These are Georgian colours, they are.
Yeah.
And they're matte finish. And so it's very subtle the way everything's done. And then we have a corridor to our right, but then to our left we have a beautiful, beautiful staircase. Absolute stunning. It's one of the ones you want to, you know, like, run up and then run down and slide on the banisters, you mean, and then just touch yourself and then knock over Gormley's chap and roll over, hit the tree and get thrown out or something. But it just, it's got that feeling, you know, of like, how can I put it? There's stairs that invite you, you know, I mean, it's not often most people want to walk upstairs, but these do. And it's fully accessible, this building, by the way. There's lifts, there's wheelchair facilities everywhere. Met these two wonderful warders.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. They went, right, you need to go through into the Great Court and you need to get yourself some leaflets. And my God, stuff you can pick up here for nothing.
For free.
Free. They've got everything, maps, everything. And you need a map. What's shocking, you actually need a map of this place.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Well, 2.5 miles.
Yeah, I know, but it's just too much to look at. And then, so I did that. I went past, looked again at the stairwell, walk through this doorway, and what you don't realise is you're going through the South Portico. The South Portico that's got the, what do they call it? It's the slightly off white stone, isn't it? It's a bit more white than the other porticos. And so you come through, and then you suddenly realise there's the reading room in front of me, Marks. These people who read books there, ripped up ideologies, and it's there. And then you look up and you think, hang on a minute. Where am I? Because this was an exterior, wasn't it? It was outside. This was, you know, it was a great court. It was a courtyard. And you see this amazing roof that's been designed by Foster. And you suddenly realise how clean the exterior to this building is now. And how polished and finished the stonework is. And it's just the space you've got around you is just wonderful and beautiful. And then you're attracted to the stairs for some reason. You are. Which go around the reading room. And so I did. Started walking up, and I couldn't stop taking photographs because you're just seeing the different exits.
Was the reading room open?
The reading room wasn't open. Right. It's shut at the moment. I think it's shut for a while, it's going to be.
Do you know why?
No, I mean, I tried to speak to the guy there, but he was speaking in a foreign language to me back, so.
Right.
And he did work. But they've got people there, obviously, to deal with the tourists. I mean, rather than. They probably don't get many Londoners in.
That's the shocker of it, the fact that they probably don't.
We did, and by the way, we did break the golden rule.
Oh, John, you've let me down. £6.
No. We've done an Alistair, darling. We've gone for the big one. Remember, last time we spent two?
Yeah.
We spent six. but this is actually worth it. The British Museum souvenir guide includes a map. Full colour. Look at that, George. I mean, it's everything that's in there.
Okay, give me some hit points of what you can see when you're in there, John.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, we'll go.
That's the, just showing you a picture of the Sutton Hoo burial treasure. That's the crown of King Radwold. That's
I'll tell you what, go up the stairs around the library, yep.
Yeah.
The library, the great room. And what happened was, as you go up, you get onto a tiered level, and then you go up again, and then you come to a small little restaurant, dining area, and then immediately to my right-hand side, so I'll be heading to the north end, the back end of the museum, there's this small little, like, frosted glass bridge. For a moment, you get a little feeling of vertigo, because you look down, and you're thinking, whoa, and then, all of a sudden, mummies, sphinxes, everywhere. And it is really weird seeing these you know, the mummification process, yeah. And seeing the sarcophaguses and seeing the elegant stonework. I mean, these are riches beyond your wildest dreams.
Because
they're the beautiful, the colours and the artwork is just amazing. And when you see a body there, literally still, like, you know, mummified, and you can still see the shape of the body. And it's quite amazing, quite immense, I felt. I mean, it was, honestly, for me, it is a bit like not regressing, but you're suddenly realising these treasures are on your doormat.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. They're waiting for you to look at, And there's no need, even on a winter's day, to when it was lovely temperature inside. Well lit. I mean, I've took about, literally, I must have took 40 photographs there. No problem at all with your photographing, take as many photographs as you like.
Yep.
And there's lots of people in there sketching and drawing.
Mm.
You know, and that's the other wonderful bit about it. But we're talking here, Egypt, Greece, Rome, the Parthenon, the frieze was there. And that's just, and actually, for a moment, I thought I was with the gods. You do, I'm sorry, I walked in and it was, this is eerie. You know, you walk in and you think, whoa, you're in the lap of them gods, you know, like, and it shows you the Parthenon itself, the remnants in Greece, is, and there is the frieze. And you're like looking at it and you think, and you can see the people upon it.
Was John Capone there saying, give it back, give it back?
No, well, maybe, you know, I mean, I don't
think. You see, there's a big row here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the simple solution is to give it back and then ask, can we have it back on lease for like a decade or something?
Mm.
And then do a plaster, we've got a plaster cast of it and just do an exchange. I mean, it's a cooperate. Work with our good neighbours in Europe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
a tough one because it was one of the reasons that they kind of had this all built, wasn't it? It's like to, because we had it when we went over there conquering everyone. And, it, you know, like some people say, it's the spoils of war.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and to a degree, most of the stuff there is. And it's these we're talking about harking back to empire days, aren't we? Let's be honest. I mean, that's when we need to consider this is built. This
yeah, 250 years ago, yeah. we were right in the middle of you know, we owned the world.
1847. You know,
we own the world, man.
Yeah, and so this is stuff that people were.
1847, that was before the Indian Mutiny, where it all started to turn around. So, you know, at this point in time, and this is one of the things that I always get upset with people when they start saying, imperialist outrages. No, at that time, we were the world power.
Yes.
And we were the world power because we was the best organised. That's what it was.
Well, it's about bureaucracy. And if you look at India, the reason why India probably the success it is today is because after independence, they carried on with the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They kept
the
civil service.
The civil service, yeah. Which was John Company.
Yeah.
It stayed there, yeah. And, you know, and the infrastructure was in there. But it did help to define the caste system. And so, but the point is, John, is like, this was a monument to our greatness.
Hmm. Yes, and that's what you have to remember. And you have to remember also, it's that time. You know, it's no good us looking back and saying that was wrong, because that was then, and this is now. And it's how we behave from now on that defines us.
Yeah.
And I think we're a great country because of our history.
See, I wouldn't give it back, the Elgin Marbles. I'm not going to give them back. Lord Elgin, he sorted them out. And his son fought for us, you know, so it's like, hold the phone now, just leave him.
Well, there was some stunning bits. What got you when you go through the galleries is because you walk through a door and it's like left to right. So, you know, you walk through, you look forward at something, you look left, and then you turn around, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Something else hits you.
This building has got the wow factor, hasn't it?
Oh, this whole building has. I mean, it's just beautiful, the doorways. I mean, there was some gates there. There was, like, from, like, I mean, it's just everything. Like, the odd bit of replica. And the modern artwork, they've managed to slip in very, very smartly. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful piece of artwork. Again, this is me talking about art. It's shocking, actually, isn't it? Here we go. It's Tim Noble and Sue Webster, Dark Stuff. And it's various mummified animals, metal stand, light projector. And what they've done is they project the light on some mummified animals. And what you see then is a man and a woman's head on two spikes.
You'll see the way it's like shadow play.
Yeah, and it's their heads on spikes. Look at that.
It is incredible. Do you know what? People have a go at modern art, but some of it is so beautifully conceived.
And that's the thing, you see. And that's the you know, even me, there's me, like, you know, dig out the old certain bits, but that's got thought.
Yeah.
That's got a lot of work into it. Hell of a lot of work. Because it's only projected at one angle, it is. And then when you move around, you get a different perspective of the face. But everything in this place today was, it's just awesome.
And apart from the fact that you let yourself down badly and spent £6 on a booklet, it was all absolutely free?
Absolutely free.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
You've got absolute great information centre in the Great Court area. We're talking what's on between November, December, exhibits, talks, you know, some companies sponsor some of the stuff here. So there's lots of educational stuff going on. They do talks and tours on hand at that time. It tells you, free tours, eye-opener gallery tours, free short tours, 30, 40 minutes each, introducing different areas of the museum's collection led by volunteer guides. That's nice to see, you know, people volunteering.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even employed. So they're doing it for nothing, but it's the love, probably, of what they're doing. They're so
And the thing is that it's like, I would do that. If there was an aspect of this that I had some kind of, you know, knowledge of and expertise, I'd volunteer for it, because it's like one of the things that you love doing is passing on your information. Plus, the fact it gives you a gold card to be able to have a look, you know, snoop round in some of the
and when you're
nooks
getting,
and crannies, yeah.
When things actually, before things open as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get you in there. Because the big one at the moment is Hadrian, isn't it?
Have they got Hadrian's Wall up there, that whole, yeah.
That big thing coming up soon. And then
brilliant.
They do three more gallery talks, they do Tuesday, Saturday, 1:15. I open a spotlight talks, 3:20 talks by volunteers again, Thursday evening inspired by themes within the collection. Opens very late, it does on a Thursday. That's quite a good evening to get along to, especially if you're doing a bit of, I think it's a good thing to do. If you're doing a bit of Christmas shopping in London,
mm-hmm.
and then to pop along to something like this afterwards, and it actually does have that, I mean, obviously, you know, if you need to put your shopping somewhere, if you're buying large presents, probably not. Maybe you don't need to put your shopping anywhere, because you may be in window shopping. But there's an, you know,
so they've got a storage place. Were you shopping then?
No. I'm just saying no. But I mean, with people with the credit crunch, I mean.
All right. No. But I mean, here you say you do your shopping.
Well, they should do. I mean, it's yeah. something like. But it's like
there's an African garden out the front as well, isn't there?
Yes, they got. Honestly, this is amazing. This place. I mean, it was. It's the vastness of it is too big in a sense to do. I've been in there twice. I have, and on both times you get the feeling like you've got lost, and that's actually quite a nice way to go about a gallery. The maps are brilliant, what they provide you with. I mean, we're talking here on the ground floor. We go from Americas, ancient Egypt, ancient Greece and Rome, Asia, Middle East. And then we go the upper floors, ancient Egypt, ancient Greece and Rome, Asia. They're looking at Japan, Europe, Middle East, themes. I mean, it's just wonderful. Lower floor, Africa, and then again, ancient Greece and Rome. And then ground floor, the Americas, ancient Egypt again. I mean, it's just the layout. The maps are very good. What is amazing is Foster's Great Court. Do you know what I thought it was?
Where?
Atlantis.
Really?
Yeah, because you know when you watch a film like they sort of like you know, it's you get to Atlantis and you feel like you're in this dome under.
Oh yeah.
And that's what it felt like you were underwater, and you know like around the walls. That's what it actually felt like.
Do you know what I can see? Because when I was doing that film in there, and we got in early. We was in there and it was empty.
Mm.
And thinking back on it, I wish I'd have just walked away a bit from you know, like the setting up with the cameras because I did love the solitude of it all. I mean, now this is sponsored by this is government sponsored, isn't it? I mean, like the taxpayer pays for this. Is it money well spent?
Fantastic money well spent, and the fact that. We're not visiting there enough.
Mm.
That's because you can see how you know we're not visiting there enough because the British books weren't selling that well. You see, you can tell. All the other language ones were like going off. And look. I mean, well, there's a brilliant picture on the back of it if you actually look at it there. Look, and that's in obviously like you know it looks like enhanced colours there
yeah.
with the lawn looking dandy as ever. But it's just beautiful. It's got everything here. And you've got to remember people are doing work here, aren't they? Restoring goods and stuff. That's the thing. Well, the conservation work that goes on in this place, it isn't just about putting an exhibition on, it's about keeping things. Most artifacts here, unless they are a large lump of granite or stone, are effectively behind glass.
Yeah.
I mean, because they have to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple. One, for theft, and two, you wouldn't
Natters.
Want air and people touching it.
Yeah.
I mean, your sweat and whatever's on your hand will cause it to deteriorate.
Mm.
The mummies, there's bits there where I've got a family. You've got these upright family I took a picture of, and we'll have these on the website early next week. It was just amazing to see, like, two daughters like and a mother and auntie, it looked like, you know.
All mummified up.
Yeah, and this is just the sarcophagus, is just standing upright. And then there was this chaplain lying there, you know, it looked like a chaplain, did like, and you just saw him, you thought, you poor sod, you know. No, but it's just, and then there was, these weren't sarcophagus, then you saw coffins, but the beautiful paintwork, the artwork upon it, and the colours, which were very... What you expect of that deserty, that sand colour, that black, that sort of like terracotta red, and that yellow, and again, it's just so much. And then, what they have done very well here is the background colours match. That's what they've managed to do. You know, the mm-hmm. background colours tend to match whatever they've set out.
Yeah.
You know, if it's very very light, you tend to find it was more pinkier stone. It was or granite. And then with the sarcophagus, it seemed to be more of a sand colour in the Egyptian.
I mean, like the reading room. That always looks like to me like the biggest piece of Wedgwood I've ever seen. You know, with that beautiful blue and white, you know, the ceiling there.
And that's the bit, this is the bit that shocked me, the Nirad monument.
Right.
380 BC from Exos, Lykia, southwest Turkey. This tomb was erected for a Lycaonian dynasty perhaps Arab. Sorry about my pronunciation, because I mean, I didn't read the classics or anything. Arabinus, and combines Greek and Persian elements of iconography and design. So there we have a merging of like Persia, Iran,
right,
and the Greeks. And it this is the one of the ones when I said to you, I turned around in the room, and that's what I saw when I spun down, and it just hits you, and it's just there. You know, someone's brought it back, rebuilt it, and put it at the end of a corridor.
Okay, now then, I've got a couple of emails that have just come through. Johnny said, I hate to be crude, George, but I studied for my my master's in theology at the British Museum, and he says, and the toilet walls were obscene.
Mm.
Well, I think, no, but I don't know, it's like, yeah. You know, a graffiti, if graffiti's 500 years old, man,
that's right.
It's worth reading, you know, so, there was that, and he also said that he enjoyed all the Roman columns that he done.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they are, they're just everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
although Capone's got him.
Has he?
Yeah, John Capone says, sorry. He says, sorry, if I missed something, clearly there is a breach of trade description act. There is nothing British in the British Museum. he said, it's the biggest Aladdin's den in London. He said, bring back the Parthenon marbles. No, John, I think what you're saying is, it is the British Museum, because it's all the booty we stole and we've kept for ourselves. Right, there we go.
But some of the North American stuff was interesting. Again, look at this one. I mean, the headdress of yellow calf, an immature golden eagle, feathers, red trade cloth, glass beads, skin and horsehair, Arapaho, Wyoming. Look at that, 1900. And there it was, look. And I think there'll be lots of cab drivers wearing them in January, doing our rain dances around the ranks. I mean, we're probably going to need those outfits. So,
John, when you're out in a cab, how much does your business go up if it starts to pour with rain? Does it immediately become a good day?
Yeah, you need a certain type of rain. About 10:30, if you get a real downpour, it's like the old ka-ching. Yeah, what you don't want is a downpour at 5 in the evening, because that sends them all home. So it's like you have to time your dance properly. You know, no, I'm just only joking. But no, it's not, it won't be in the new year. I mean, it's no, but I mean, it's there's so much here. You could spend, I think, actually, you could probably spend, if you really wanted to, especially like, they're like your kids, if you want to get your kids drawing,
mm-hmm.
This is a very good place to come.
Yeah.
Where you can sit down with your family, and there's little, like, you know, just long benches, and you just say to them, like, sketch that, you know, or whatever. And it's something that you can get children interested in, especially Romans and Greeks, isn't it? Because, you know, I mean, I don't want people to take this the wrong way about the wars and that, but, you know, but the fact that, I mean...
They happened, man.
Yeah, and people are interested in that type of thing, isn't it? And there's something about the Romans, how well-organised they were, weren't they? You know, and if you think modern riot control is effectively based on the legions it is now, with the long shields.
Uh-huh.
And the way they do the turtle, isn't it? You know, like they put the top shields on the top, isn't it? And they can march into a large crowd and then get the sticks out. You know, so it's... I mean, their influence is, you know, far and wide, just like the Greeks as well, isn't it? Their influence with the classic citizen time and how we still revert back, which we did in a previous walk, couldn't we have Atlas House, you know, and stuff, and how it still affects us today. And it makes us wonder, I mean, we worship, most of us worship a god, a form of a god or whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be, great faiths or not. But the Romans, up till they converted to Catholicism before, and the Greeks, they worshipped many gods, wasn't
yeah.
it? You know, and it's, I just think it's, this place to have, to, if you play the lottery, you've been funding this, and to have played the lottery, and probably like me, won nothing, I now think I won something by visiting this twice.
I've never played the lottery, so I've got it free. Eileen, who is from the most beautiful city in the world, New York, although it hasn't got a British Museum in it, has it, Eileen? She says, good evening, Mr. Big Web, George Webley, and John the Cabbie. Happy Turkey Day. She says, John's presentation tonight is without doubt the best one yet. I cannot wait to get back to your fair city and spend an entire day at the British Museum.
Hmm.
Not only is it free, but it sounds like it'll be another fabulous day spent in London.
See the colours there? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're on radio, but see what I said to you about the terracottas and the look, and they're just beautiful colours, and you'll witness that. And those Egyptians were well ahead of their time. What happened though? Why did it stop? You know, and it's, you know, it's, there are questions to be asked here. How did they build the pyramids? People still, you know, I know they had slaves,
aliens.
Thousands of them.
No, aliens, that's what it was, mate. Aliens. I've seen the artifacts. They have in their hieroglyphics, there's alien beings. And I think that Johnny, who was there, can prove it. And Johnny actually says you should have gone to public school. He says you love knowledge.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got offered, you won't believe this, I actually got offered a scholarship when I was a bit younger to Oxford and said no. It was a Ruskin College, which is a union college. And I wanted to go to a free thinking place, not bashing me with, you know, left or right. So that was that didn't happen. But, you know, that's life, isn't it? You can't change that. It doesn't stop you, though, from learning, does it? It doesn't stop you from picking a book up. It doesn't stop you from reading. All a degree means in the modern world is you've got a bit of paper. Someone says, you've got the degree. You know, I've got millions of books in the front of the cab. Says, I've got the books. But I was stunned today. I was stunned last week, and I think one thing about entering these buildings, because I haven't been there, and what's important is I haven't been here since I've been a child, and there's loads of us like this, and there's lots of my colleagues like this, and if we're not busy in the new year, let's educate ourselves. That's what we've got to do. If we're not busy, let's pop into these places, let's find out more about them, because here's the best bit. I then pick up a couple later on this evening, talking about Talk the Walk, and guess what? I've got a week's work coming in January because of it. A week's work. Couple coming out from Canada. Book me up.
Really?
A week.
That's all right. How much? Is it good rate?
Yeah, very good rate. Yeah. Well, coming here for a holiday and they want to come on some of the walks that we've done.
I think you could...
Something John talked about it is, and there is a business there, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's something worth looking at. But honestly, you know, we don't realise what we got on our front door. You go past it every day. People walk past it. You see it all the time. People walk past St Paul's. People walk past the British Museum. You walk past these things, and we don't have time to look and contemplate.
No.
And maybe in a weird, 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 sad way, next year's going to make us all have to stop, slow down a bit, and have a good look at what's around us. Not just at ourselves and our lives, but look what's around us in this great city, in this wonderful country. Because do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We've got it all here. Except the sunshine. That's probably the one thing that's lacking, you know, really. But we've actually have got it all here. It's on our front door. I mean, we'll be looking in the next few weeks. Victoria and Albert Museum. Science Museum, which is meant to be unbelievable. Slightly interactive. And then we can look at the Natural History Museum.
Do you know what, John? You've actually just epitomised one of my favourite poems by William Henry Davis about that. And it says, what is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. No time to see when woods we pass, where squirrels hide their nuts in grass. No time to see in broad daylight streams of stars, like skies at night. No time to turn at beauty's glare and watch her feet how they can dance. No time to wait till her mouth can enrich that smile her eyes began. A poor life this, if full of care, we have no time to stand and stare. And that's true. It's like we go past that, as you said. How many cab drivers pass that sort of like 20 times a week and haven't been in there?
Well, do you know the worst thing is when you drop someone up and they'll say to you, what's it like? And you're like, very nice.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's not, and that's the thing. The difference was this evening and last week was I had people going, people know, it was funny. Well, it's people notice you with a book in the front or something, or you're writing something if you've got a bit of dead time. I don't like having dead time thinking about nothing.
Yeah.
I like having dead time doing something with it. And I just said, oh, well, I'll pop in the British, and then I started talking about it, and then I said, oh, talk the walk, and this lady went, oh, what else have you done then? I explained a few of the walks. Can we book you? And it was like, well, yeah, give me a business card, make sure you email me. And that's always nice that someone gives you their card, you're not asking it the other way. You know, it tends to be, it's a bit more, it's a bit more confirmed in that sense. But it's, I mean, they have got a show on here at the moment that you would have to pay, which is the one about Babylon. I mean, like all these places, they do put stuff on that you can pay for. I mean, that's where, and there are donation boxes everywhere. I mean, I have noticed that, and they try and put £3 down, €5 or $7.
Yeah.
I quite like the way they'd done their own currency converter. Do you know, it's like, literally like...
Yeah, but you have to, I mean, it's like, you have to remind these people, don't you?
Mm. No, but I mean, if you've got a little bit of loose change, the money does go, I think, not just to a good cause, it really is, it's just awe-inspiring. It was a shame you can't get into the library at the moment in the middle, because people have to remember this was the British Library, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the British Museum / British Library. And that's one that that is a difficult one to go walking around because they don't really like people traipsing around, you know, libraries and stuff.
I've got another email here for you. This is from Steve. I'm getting worried. Ollie, he hasn't had one complaint. Yeah. Can you send him in? He says, John.
It won't be long.
He says, I know someone who set up a guide in Sydney doing just what you're doing. And he said she called it Sydney Secrets, and it took off like a space shuttle.
Yeah.
He says, get yourself on the web, and you'll have no end of work. Well, it is on the web, isn't it?
It is on the web on freelondonevents.co.uk.
Right.
We will be in the new year. We spoke to John Capone about it, spoke to Colin Hughes, who's been a fantastic guy sourcing that website and doing wonderful photography. And we're going to be looking at, you know...
Everybody's been asking here as well, what's a dodgy sausage?
A dodgy sausage?
Yeah, Johnny said he'd like to give you a dodgy sausage. Carlene from New York has said, what on earth is a dodgy sausage? It sounds like a...
Looks like a sausage, yeah. But it's not one.
Okay, then fair enough.
But if you want to get a good sausage,
yeah,
try Tom's or definitely try Chelsea Bridge. That's what I will say. I mean, it's, you've got some stuff coming for you next week, Kev. There's a competition starting, George.
Yeah, what's that?
Between Chelsea and Tom's.
All right.
Yeah, it's starting next week.
I ought to go down and officiate. I ought to see who does the best bacon sandwich.
Well, no, they're going to be sending them up to you.
All right, lovely.
Week, okay, you're going to be set up with a big bacon double burger from Chelsea.
That's
you're going to be sent a big pie from Clapham Common.
Yes, Ollie, and I'm the personality presenter. You can sit out there and slim. Ennis has just said, this Talk the Walk is the best. I am there walking and looking with you. He explains things so well. I am transported. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's...
And she says she's got a vision of you doing your rain dance and drumming and whooping, which leads me on, by the way, which leads me on to Omar, who says, George, John, can you tell him that London wants to hear him sing a Frank Sinatra song? John, I'm not going to ask you again. Please, John, would you give London a Frankie song? Look, there it is, John.
Yes.
Now, Omar's asked you now for the last 4 months, every week.
What I'll say to him, we haven't got long on Christmas, and you never know.
Let's say one at Christmas, yeah? Okay. Yes,
we will. The show before, what would it be, the 22nd, then? So it'd be the week before the 22nd, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
definitely. We'll do My Way.
Okay.
Yeah, not the highway. I think, all right, we'll book that in for you at home. I'll start practicing. You'll see me on the old, in the background of X Factor or something, Max Factor. Singing in the well-known department stores trying out karaoke machines.
John, thank you very much indeed. That's John the Cabby, ladies and gentlemen. He is absolutely top-notch. There we go. John the Cabby. BBC 94.9. You ready, John? Let's just give Omar a little bit there. All right, okay. A 1, 2, 3.
Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
So, from now on, for the rest of this year, it's all inside then.
Indoors. Walk indoors.
Don't want to get people wet when we're listening to Talk
the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Brilliant, John.
Thank you.
I'm gonna walk down to the British Museum probably next week and have a look. Because I had it on Talk
the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9.
Yeah, you always spark me off. I've done just about all of your walks, John.
I haven't had
a bad one yet. Oi!
This is BBC London 94.9.
What are you bidding?
I'd like to bid 2,500.
2,500, my friend, come on. £2,500 for children in need to play your songs and your songs only now.
Danny Baker, weekdays 3 till 5.
Why don't you do this every day? I mean,